Will this be a make or break season for Zion Williamson? Plus, we're going to talk about the Jose Alvarado injury. Pro Pels Talk starting right now. All right, got Chaz and Lito here on a Sunday night. Before we get into the show, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. This podcast is sponsored by the Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk, located at 918 Poitras Street by the Superdome. Give them a call at 504-523-5413 if you or someone you know has been involved in an accident. Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk, Chaz and Lito on a Sunday night. Chaz, we're going to start right with you, right into it. Is this a make or break season for Zion Williamson?
Maybe for the Zion Williamson brand. I don't think it should be for this team because, I mean, just not a serious organization. And if we keeping it 100, Zion's the only star on this team. He's the box office guy. He's the literal star on this team. The only one with MVP potential, the only chance you ever have at winning a championship during right now with this collective of players is Zion Williamson. So I think you're going to give him every chance to succeed. It depends on the context of things too. Like if Zion goes out, plays 65 games and the six game 66, like he has a weird fluke injury, then I'm kind of like, I don't know. Right. But if he pulls the disappearing act, like we've seen the last couple of seasons where he just doesn't play at all, really, for the most part, it's like, shit, I don't know. I mean, what you going to do? If you get rid of him, you got to get rid of everybody. Like, it's over.
And that was basically my point, Lito, is okay, if you get less than 40 games here from Zion Williamson, what is the next move for this team? Like, seriously, if he gets less than 40 games again this year, he's played 29 games in the last 2 years. We all know the numbers, but I don't think there's enough talk right about Zion Williamson this year being an enormous year. And also, Chaz, I didn't mention this is his first year of the new extension too, right? Oh, yeah, he just ended his rookie extension. He's now into his first year of a max deal.
And that's a big deal too. That matters a lot.
Yeah. And this is his first year, Lito. So would you say this is a make or break season for Zion Williamson?
First of all, Zion is the most electrifying basketball player in this side of the Mississippi. Shout out to The Rock. I feel like I'm on the yes side of this. I've said this on a couple podcasts throughout the summer that one of 14 at the end of this season, if it does not work, you got to do something. You can't just keep running it back. Like the run back is over. Like you got to go to plan B or plan C or whatever that is. I'm hoping that Zion proves me wrong with the over under games. Cause 29, whatever, 28, whatever it was, that was egregious. And it wasn't his fault last year cause he was in great shape. He was playing well, but still the fact is the games were missed. So
whoa. I think some of it's his fault. I'm
talking the injury. Like the
injury's not his fault. The way he handles the injury is 100% his fault.
Yeah. No, I mean just the injury itself was not like he was playing basketball. Like I can't really. Yeah, the handling of it, like not being thorough up on like doing whatever the training staff asked him to do, from what I've heard, who I've talked to. Yeah, that side of it. Yeah, that's all him. Honestly, you could even say correcting your lower extremities in the summer before the season even starts, like doing more to prevent those injuries is also on him. But yeah, man, for me, it's gotta be one in 14. Like it's going to be, this is literally a make or break season because like, this is Zion's. We talked about it. You got into his extension, right? This is the beginning of the extension. It's so much more value on a contract to you move him, right? And then you look at Brandon, who is trying to re-up or the team wants to re-up with Brandon. Like you could alter the franchise in so many different ways. Like, I don't know. It's a lot going on. Whatever way you want to be, whatever side you want to be on of it. But for me, yeah.
Yeah. So Chaz, back to your point, because I think you make an interesting point, right? So if he plays 65 games and things like that, like that's the biggest thing with Zion, because you especially know when he plays, he is an MVP must-watch player. He's top five, maybe. I would probably say top five when maybe. He's healthy and playing. So if he gives you 65 games, right, and just say, you know, the Pelicans are fourth or fifth in the West and they're starting to make some noise, then what's next, right? Because you still have the CJ Brandon conundrum as well of like re-upping them. And then also you have, and we didn't talk about this last podcast, Trey Murphy's coming up. Is it this year he comes up?
I think maybe this next offseason.
Right. So you, the point being, we need to see what Zion can do in a full season. If he cannot give you a full season, is it time to cut bait?
If he can't give you the full season, the reason why it's difficult to answer that is because I think Zion's floor, his absolute floor is just not playing. That's his real floor, right? But his playing floor is so much higher than the other two guys that it's like, well, okay, clearly you're not cut out to be the face of anybody's franchise. So maybe I keep you as like, you become the Robin type guy. And I bring in the next person, and that person's the face of the franchise. And that's why I was so much on the trade for Scoop train, because it's like, in the event that Zion, keep it real, look, this team is Zion. Like, that's what it boils down.
Well, it's been very clear, Chaz. The last 2 years, he's missed majority of the season. They finished ninth.
The team is Zion, right? And they finished ninth in a not so good West these last couple years. So if Zion goes down, you need to have that next player ready, or things just don't work out with Zion. Maybe he doesn't get any better. Maybe he's just, you know, things may just fall apart. Maybe it's not a health issue. Maybe he wants to leave. Maybe, you know, anything could happen. But you need to have a contingency plan in the event that things don't work out with Zion. And so far, team hasn't increased their margin for error. I think of those two players' name, it makes the most sense if you have Trey that – it just depends on what happens with that.
And you're right. And I don't mean to cut you off, Chaz, because I wanted to get this point out, because, and whoever wants to answer first, because Trey Murphy went down with a knee injury, a torn meniscus, and I'm not worried about how he's going to handle his body. I know he's going to do everything he can in order to get back to the court as quick as possible. I just know, like, that's just who Trey Murphy is. Now with Zion, that's my biggest question. I'm not mad that he got hurt, but when he gets hurt, it's the way he handles it after he gets hurt. And that's why I have this big question, Lito, because if he does get hurt again this year, I'm not necessarily worried about the injury. I'm worried about how he's going to handle the injury, and if can he keep himself in shape? Not necessarily, you know, tip-top shape, but can he get his way back quicker, if that makes sense?
No.
So that's what I'm saying. So, like, then no more excuses kind of thing. Because, like, that's where in my notes I have no more excuses written down. Like, I think I'm done with the excuses, right? We did the whole Portland thing. And, you know, he came back and he had the whole teaspoon thing. And then CJ McCollum called him out. And then he came back in shape. And then he goes down in Philly. And then you don't see him the rest of the year.
Well, so damn, I'm done with the excuses. And teaspoon gone. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's another part of it. Teaspoon is no longer with the organization. I don't know if he has a shoulder to lean on now. I don't know if he feels a connection.
But that shoulder wasn't necessarily helping. I'm not there, obviously, every day, but it didn't seem like it was really helping much to get him back on the court, that is.
Maybe physically, but I'm saying, like, mentally. Maybe mentally, like, the shoulder that he's looking for is no longer, like, there. I mean, it also could be a thing where he is just beyond – he gets so maybe down or dejected about the injury that, like, he just can't follow up with doing it.
I mean,
what's happening? It was good. Yeah, nah, like, I don't feel any, like, I'm not worried about Trey at all. Trey is an adult, a professional adult. He's gonna handle it the right way. You know what I'm saying? Like, the biggest take that there's not even a rhyme or reason about his injury. He's just playing basketball because he's been playing basketball around the world this whole entire summer. These things happen. I don't know, man. Zion still got, it's year five, bro. It's so many questions. It's so many fucking questions.
Don't you think that's
the
problem? There's still a lot of questions. Chaz had a lot of questions. You have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions.
I think the thing is, though, I think Griffin's putting his foot down, so to speak, now. But I think the first 3.5 to 4 years of just giving him free reign when he hadn't really, like, earned it is the problem.
Elaborate.
I mean, like, you know, I mean, if anybody reads any article from Christian or any other journalist, like, you know what was basically said about, you know, the bubble. Like, the team has made excuses for him. The team has, like, kept certain things quiet. Like, the team is, you know, from what I read, Griff, you know, said he knew about the injury coming into training camp the year before, and then maybe he didn't know about it, but he wanted to keep it cool for Zion and his family. His family didn't want necessarily, like, this information out to the public. So, you know, for me personally, if I'm Griff, like, Griff's job is not online anymore, obviously, because he's an extended contract. Yep. But Willie's job is kind of on the line.
And don't you think that's kind of, and whoever wants to answer this first, like, do you think Zion realizes that? Like, there's other people's lives on the line here. And like,
wait, Chad, before you answer that, can I just say one thing? Mm-hmm. One thing, Justin. Ask me, do I think he cares?
Do you think, I already know your answer. Don't you think that's the problem? Do you think that's a problem?
Well, if I know, you know, Chaz know.
Oh, I mean,
you don't think the organization, like, you don't think they know? Go ahead, Chaz.
I ain't gonna lie. I keep it real. This is a joke of an organization. I wouldn't give a fuck neither. Like, bro, it's a shit show. Like, it was a shit show before Griff got here. It's been a shit show since he got here. And that's the whole thing. I just my biggest question is, would this happen somewhere else? Would this happen in San Antonio? Would this happen even in New York? Would this happen like would this happen in other places that have some type of like structure or history of at least competence? I ain't even talking about success. I'm talking about competence.
Because I feel like there's some other organizations that go through. That have been.
Yeah, I mean, you got like your Detroit.
I'm saying because the Knicks,
like Phoenix Suns, for instance. I know they just changed owners, but like they went through a whole shit show. Like there's just kind of layers to it.
But the Knicks a bad organization too.
Yeah,
you know, they've had what the Dolan dude, but I'm just still there. Yeah. As far as like a team that's had the same ownership for the last X amount of years, you had Chris Paul. Anthony Davis, DeMarcus got hurt, but DeMarcus Cousins. You had all these other, like, I remember Rondo. There's an interview when Rondo, I think John Reed wrote this or something, when he was telling Anthony Davis, like, hey, you know when we do two-a-days, you're not supposed to come back for practice in the morning, right? You should tell the coach that. And Anthony Davis goes and tells the coach, yeah, I don't want practice in the morning. And they changed the schedule. I'm like, wait, why did it take Rondo coming here? For people to like realize these things, and it's just, again, this is not absolving Zion at all. What I am saying is, nobody cares about nobody around this organization. This is the defunct organization.
Why do you say that? I guess why would you say that?
Look how they communicate the chains of communication, right? You got Jen. Shout out to Jen Hale. Jen's dope. Jen Hale's calling Brandon's injury turf toe. Willie doesn't know what the injury is. Someone else calls it something else. You're getting conflicting information fed to reporters. Like, Griff will say something. I won't name any reporters. The reporter will report it. Then Griff will confront said reporter in the next press conference. Like, I ain't tell you that. I said at some point that it's like, no, motherfucker, you said this.
So it seems like, and I agree with you. I think the communication is very, it's not clear, right? I go back to media day. What was it? When Zion broke his foot, we didn't know that Zion even broke his foot. And then he says he'd be ready for opening day. And then he's not. That's what you're talking about, right?
Chaz, yeah. There was something else too. There was something in the exit interviews that Griff had a little spat with a reporter, you know, who's a friend of the show. He had a little spat with that guy as well. And I'm just like, bro, how do you keep miscommunicating? Like, how you as the voice, no one else really speaks. You're the voice of the team. How do you keep miscommunicating? You know, Willie, how do you keep miscommunicating?
Willie gets told one thing. So like Willie's just reporting, like right when he's answering, like, what's going on with Zion or Brandon? He's like, I don't, he's being told, you know, how to answer those questions or So I think. But I think I agree with you, Chaz. I think the lack of communication is it's definitely a problem in this organization. So Lito, if you can, if Zion's gonna be healthy, right, and Brandon's gonna be, well, we can't even say that because they're not healthy. Trey's hurt. We're about to get into Jose Alvarado, who just sprained his ankle. He might not be ready for training camp. It's hard to remain positive when every month there's an injury update. I mean, it is really, you're going into a huge season of Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, Zion Williamson, maybe the last year of these big three, and you already have two major injuries to your bench.
What's the question?
Can it be a top five team in the West? I mean, I'm running out of shit to talk about because it's so frustrating. That right. I mean, Trey let goes me, down. Let me give Jose you some, let me give you some positivity. What I was gonna say though, Lito, was in my notes. I'm like, if Zion Williamson's healthy, how far can this team go?
If Zion Williamson and Brandon
are healthy,
are partially healthy because they're not gonna be healthy. They're not gonna play 82 games. So if Zion Williamson and Brandon can give you maybe 65 games, I think together. I think that you still could possibly have a top five team in the West. Yes, because their greatness is going to transcend whatever injury Jose Alvarado has or whatever. I'm not going to say Trey because Trey is like an integral part of the offense. He got the one skill like nobody else really has, which is shooting. But
that's a problem.
That is a problem. That is a problem, but it can be conquered in other ways, not getting other guys who are bad shooters to take more shots, but it can be conquered in ways of like just using other guys to their strengths. Now, in this scenario, Brandon does have to shoot more threes. In this scenario, Zion has to rebound. Zion has to play. Zion essentially has to be the weak side shot blocker on this team in this particular scenario. It can be, you can work around this situation until what 3 weeks? I mean, 6 weeks for Trey, possibly.
No, Trey's not coming back till 8 to 10, right? Late November, probably December, from what I heard.
That's fine, but still, I'm saying like you can.
But like I know you're saying that's fine, but with a team that is always hurt, is it fine? Because who knows when Trey comes back, who's going to be available at this point? That's where I'm at.
I don't know nothing else, so this it has to be fine. I don't know what it feels like. I don't know what being a Sacramento Kings fan and having your top 12 guys not miss any time feels like. Like that has to be, you know, a joyous feeling. But we got what we got. Like this is the land of voodoo dolls and Popeyes and liquor. So you mix those things up and you get whatever this is, a serum of sadness. Like you, yeah.
Well, look, Chaz, and we talk about it, right? The training staff, the medical staff, Aaron Nelson, they got fired and all this other stuff, right? And they got new people in there. You're still dealing with injuries. So
honestly, I don't know who got fired.
Aaron Nelson's in the building.
Yeah, I don't know who's still there because. You know, it's just, I don't know what's going on.
That's Hall of Fame basketball trainer, Aaron.
But it goes back to no communication. It's not always Nelson's fault. Like, y'all just want to blame Nelson. Injuries are still happening. Injuries are literally still happening in the offseason.
Yo, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, Casey Hill got demoted and they're coaching the Summer League team. So I don't really know
what happened. Larry just said nobody talked to James Regner. That's what I'm saying. It's a team wide issue. Like these dudes is just bizarre.
Communicating, that is.
Yeah, like I don't know. That's why I just say it's everybody. But I do have some level of I don't want to say optimism, but some level of, I don't think all hope is lost. And I mean this super duper respectfully. Before the news of this Jose injury, I was kind of like on the fence about giving Kyra that opportunity ahead of Jose, just because you have more invested in Kyra. This is probably your last chance to see what Kyra has to offer. I don't think Jose is probably the best suited for certain matchups in the event that you get to the playoffs, you know, things like that. And I do know with that type of injury that he had, this is supposedly, actually, there was some footage that came out of the injury on Twitter. Did y'all see
it? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was crazy. This is it here. Yeah, motherfucker caught the zombie virus from Brandon. But yeah, so prayers up to Jose, man. I hope Jose recovers. But you know, that could be a lingering injury, you know, those foot injury, ankle injuries, that could be a thing that lingers into the season. The thing that shows me that this team is so flawed with team building is you're trying out Will Barton now, right? What does that say about your confidence in Dyson Daniels and or Kyra that you're trying out Will Barton? What does that say about your confidence in your backup wings? Like, why did you occupy certain roster slots with guys you aren't absolutely confident in? Or why did you, waste draft selections or things like that with, respect to Jordan Hawkins? We'll see what the young brother has to offer. But you're paying $5 million to Jordan, $5-6 million to Jordan Hawkins when you could have got two vet men, professional players. You know what I'm saying? But all that being said, I think it's going to come down to Zion and Brandon, man. And, respect to Trey, respect to Jose. I don't think those two brothers should be the reason you win or lose games. I think it's going to have to come down with superstars. Well, Brandon, his designation is a role player for right now. But you got Brandon, who is an all-star talent. You got Zion, who's a superstar talent. They have to ascend and step up to the plate. CJ is a professional. I'm not worried about CJ at all. Those two dudes are the difference makers on this roster. They have to show up night in, night out until, Trey is able to, provide some reinforcement.
Yeah, and also a guy you didn't mention, Chaz Jonas. I'm not worried about Jonas. Like, yeah. So we're gonna get into the Jose thing. Before we get into the Jose thing, let's hear from our friends over here at DraftKings Sportsbook. Can you believe we've had 7 months without an NFL game? Crazy, right? Well, good thing that's over. NFL's here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving you a can't-miss offer. New customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game. DraftKings is hooking everyone up with game day greatness. Download now and use code BOOT to sign up. New customers can take home $200 in bonus bets instantly just for betting $5. That's code BOOT, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. So, Chaz, you bring up a really good point about Kyra Lewis. So, I want to talk about Lito. So, I want to present this to Lito first and you, Chaz, second. So, Shams just came out saying that Jose Alvarado over the weekend sprained his ankle and now is questionable for training camp and start of the season. Lito, obviously, injury bugs hitting again and the season hasn't even started, but Chaz brought up a good point. Kyra Lewis now. He needs to kind of step into that role. One, do you believe in Kyra Lewis? And two, do you think this is a big deal with the Jose Alvarado injury?
I want to say an ankle, no, but then being he's on the Pelicans, shit, man, like you just don't know. Like, I've never really seen anything like this, but I'm gonna take it easy and I'm gonna say, no, I'm not worried about his ankle, even though from what I understand, it is the reason they kept him out of FIBA. So, feels like if the Pelicans didn't have any luck, bad luck, there would be no luck. However, I do believe in Kyra Lewis, AKA the Alabama blur. I do believe in him. I think that he's got intangibles. He's got things, he's got a particular skill set nobody on this team really has. And he can play more like the Flash than most guys in the league. I was watching a video earlier actually of him and Colin Sexton going at it at a run in Alabama with Anthony Edwards there, kind of hyping it up. Like, Kyra was on Anthony Edwards' team, and he was like, Kyra was doing this thing, man. He looked good. He looked fast. He looked confident in the shot. I mean, shit, at one point last season, he was shooting 50% from three, and then the Pelicans forgot about him. So, that's one thing. The other thing is, too, like, I can believe in Kyra all I want to. Kyra can believe in Kyra all he wants to, but if he's not going to get minutes, if he's not going to get in, situations, to succeed, then it don't really matter. Like, if you're going to put him in a game and have him just stand in the corner, yeah, I mean, shit, what are you expecting from him at that point? You know, put the ball in his hands and let him, you know, probe the defense and get in the paint and push the pace. And that's how you see him succeed. Because Kyra, while not the best passer on the team, he's got enough passing acumen that while when he gets into, you know, particular parts of the lane, like he can dish it off to Jonas. And Kyra, I've seen him, the one thing that he never had that I wanted him to always get is a floater. And I've seen him work on that shot a whole lot this summer and last summer. And, you know, I feel very confident in Kyra's ability.
So, Chaz, a couple things. First off, hope Jose is okay and he comes back, because his energy, I was watching this over the weekend. It's funny, I was watching some film. Jose's energy is like, he gets the building up and going. Like, it doesn't matter if the team, like, you, there were points there early in the year where, like, Kyra, like, we, the first five would start off really slow and Kyra and Larry would come in and they would just turn a slip. They'd flip Jose a switch. Jose and Larry would just flip a switch. So that's, I hope, you know, Jose gets back for that. Second off, though, Kyra is interesting, Chaz, because Borrego loves pace and loves to play with pace, get the ball out. Kyra has something you can't teach, and it's speed. And when Kyra's playing free and he's in that pistol action, he's going downhill, he's really effective with the ball. Do you think that he can maybe thrive kind of in a James Borrego offense where it's pace, getting the ball out the rim, getting the ball and going, and using that speed there for the second unit?
Absolutely. I think Kyra is just, like, I like to talk about regular season players versus playoff guys. I think a guy like Kyra Lewis can come into a game, give you 15, 16 points off the bench. I think what has haunted him his entire career, for one, you know, is what could have been with Tyrese Halliburton. And also, he doesn't seem to have ever had a clear role defined for him. And have, you know, he's always a guy who's always looking over his shoulder. He doesn't know when he's going to get pulled out of a game. He doesn't know what infraction is going to cause him to get, you know, benched. And I think going into this particular season, I think just give him a fair chance to fail. Give him a clear role. Let him be your gunner off the bench. You know, like, yo, you, I don't want you to worry about nothing. Just attack downhill. Got a nice jumper. Shoot that motherfucker. Like, don't, because it's easy to throw this guy into the play-in game, a sudden death play-in game after he's been benched for a month. Then he doesn't play well, and you say, see, that's why you don't get no minutes. They're like, no, you're the problem, coach. You're the problem here. Like, give this man a fair opportunity to fail. You made a major investment in him with that lottery pick. You got no one wants him. So, at worst, during the start of the season, training camp, at least give him some run up until the trade deadline. And you could be in a similar position as you were with Jax and Nickeil Alexander-Walker, where you're like, man, both these guys are playing really well. I got to make a decision on one. Kyra clearly has the higher upside. Or gave Kyra a chance. It didn't work out. You gotta get up out of here, bro. But the thing I just don't like is that we don't have enough film on this guy right now to fairly critique him his last season. Because I thought he was playing well when he stopped getting minutes. I was like, all right, it's kind of coming along.
Yeah.
But, you know, and he's your only real option at the one. I mean, you can kind of give Najee some of those duties. Dyson is just, come on, man. Like, let's stop it. Let's stop playing. And it gotta be Kyra. So let's like give him a run.
Kyra's also another guy that you don't have a lot of guys that can break down a defense. Kyra and Jose and CJ are like the three guys that can like really, and like when I mean like break down a defense, beat your guy and get into the lane and kick or dish to the big or whoever it may be. But Chaz brings up a good point, Lito. This could also be an interesting opportunity for the franchise to get a look at Kyra Lewis. Who is he on an expiring, I believe?
Yeah. Well, after this, they got to extend his qualifying off.
Okay. So we've talked about trying to get off of Kyra Lewis, I think, in the offseason. What? Did I?
It's not you. It's not you. No, geez, I wasn't anything you said. I'm laughing. So you said that you said the franchise could get a look at Kyra Lewis. And I was just thinking, like, well, who the fuck was stopping them? Who the fuck was stopping them from getting a look before?
So, do y'all remember when he popped his ACL? Did y'all think he was playing well?
his first couple weeks. I think he started.
There was a difference in his game, Chaz, that I thought, I was like, wow, he has some confidence. He's getting some playing time. He's maybe getting a little bit of rhythm, and then he popped his ACL.
I thought the best I'd ever seen Kyrie was under Stan Van Gundy. That's how I know something is there, because there were games. I always go back to this Pistons game, and even Kyrie, when the Pelicans got blown out by the Phoenix Suns, Kyrie had a really good game.
Yeah, I remember that
game. It was a national game. And I'm like, bro, I know it's there. He just never has a clear, defined role. Like, he just out there, like, I don't know what's going on. And that's just.
But to the point, Lito, this could be an opportunity here for where you can also build some trade value with Kyrie Lewis if he gets off to a really good start here in the first couple months, October, November, December. Because when that trade deadline does come, and you would think if the Pelicans are in the thick of things, if they are in the thick of things, that he could be an asset moved maybe alongside JV too, because that's also an interesting dynamic that the Pelicans have to deal with, because the trade deadline this year is going to be enormous.
What if he plays so well that it turns out that Jose is the one who has to be moved?
See,
I don't think Jose makes enough money, right?
That's the thing. Kyrie's making seven, Chaz.
But what I'm saying is, what if he's playing so well that you're like, we can't lose this guy. Oh, like, man. we got to continue to give him minutes.
Then that's probably a good thing for the Pelicans, because as Chaz said, we have a qualifying offer and he's being productive. I'll take that all day. I mean, that's what you want from your 13th overall pick and your 8th overall pick.
I feel like when you have a young guard, and this is, I wasn't shooting at Jose at all, but I'm saying when you have a young guard, I'm shooting at Dyson when I say this. When you have a young guard who can actually dribble and is comfortable in situations being the lead, not necessarily like the lead guard. He's not going to give you 6 to 7 assists a night, but the lead guard in terms of like handling the ball, creating for himself and possibly creating for others. Like, he's not going to start a set and give you like Jason Kidd assists, but he'll start a set attack and then you'll get
he's a point guard.
Assists. Yeah. You know,
he's a point guard.
I think
we don't have many point guards.
He's got very good measurables as far as like, he's not very tall, but he is good like arm length. I think that, you know, his shot is coming around. I think his defense could probably surprise people. I think that you know, he's just quick as hell. He's very like, he's just a blur, bro. And I you give that guy minutes and you help him figure out his game along the way. Yes.
And Chaz, you know what else I didn't think was fair last year? He is coming off a major injury, of an ACL injury. You want to talk about a guy that cuts and uses his speed and things like that. It takes time to get mentally to get over that hump. So there were times early on last year when Kyrie came back after the G League stint, he struggled. But then there was a nice little rhythm there during the season, and then it just stopped.
And he also came to this team probably at the worst time possible. Like, you know what I'm saying? Team was a major transition after the bubble with Stan Van Gundy. You lose Stan Van Gundy. You know, Kyrie goes down. Willie Green, everyone's learning on the job with Willie Green, because there's no clear consistency in the rotations. Like, all right, I'm not going to play the young guy, but I'm going to play this young guy. I'm only going to play the vets. Like, it's so much of it just didn't make any sense. So I'm hoping Beregno can add a little more balance and a little more, borrow Willie Green's term, a little more know-how to that bench and, you know, just a certain level of balance and fairness to rotations, because we saw Devontae Graham under Beregno, we saw Devontae Graham under Willie Green. Let's see if we can get a little bit of that Devontae Graham under Beregno thing going with Kyrie. And at the end of the day, this is a shallow team. You ain't really got much to lose by giving him an opportunity.
It's true. Lito, got anything?
I mean, can't do
prayers up for Jose, man. I really hope I hope he's all right. Yeah. I mean, but this is a good talking point, because you got to talk about Kyrie Lewis. It's not like we're just shoving Jose to the side. It's all right. Well, next man up, who's going to step up in that situation? I'm expecting Dyson Daniels to somewhat step up for Trey Murphy. I'm not saying shoot 40% from deep, but he needs to be productive. I'm also now what Kyrie is, Lewis. Here's your opportunity.
This is kind of how Jose stepped up in the first place with Kyrie.
I was just about to say, Kyrie tore his ACL. Jose gets called up from the G League. I don't necessarily remember Jose's first couple of games.
I think he beat out Jared Harper.
Yes. That's right. He did beat out Harper, right? And so then he came in, Jose, there's just different type of energy and just vibe with Jose. And he took that momentum all the way into last year, and then he got hurt, unfortunately. And he's been dealing with some injury bugs. So, you know, you got to talk about Kyra Lewis. And the bench is starting to get the bench is already shallow. It's starting to get really, really shallow to where you're now hoping from a big leap for Dyson Daniels and Jordan Hawkins, who, like, someone was like, someone on Twitter told me, like, if Jordan Hawkins doesn't shoot 40% from deep this year, then why'd you draft him? I'm like, if you're expecting a rookie to come in and shoot 40% from deep right off the bat, then expectations are a little
before out of reach, in my opinion. Can I ask y'all this? What do y'all make of the Will Barton tryout?
I didn't really think of anything, but, like, now that you said it,
they gotta be seeing Dyson every day. Like, oh no, what did we do?
You kicking the tires on Will Barton, man. I mean, shit, you right. About 6 years past the expiration date on that.
Yeah,
Dyson's gotta take a leap, man. We talked about this last week. Dyson's gotta take a leap.
He's gonna take the leap.
I know he's untouchable in some trade situations.
He's only 20.
He's gotta take a leap.
He's only 20. He got a long, you know what I'm saying? He could have a very storied NBA his career. He just got to figure some things out, I guess.
Motherfucker playing basketball since he was 8. Like, you know, it's like, he's been a professional since he was 12 years old.
Like, comment, and subscribe. It's going to do it for us here at Propel Zoc. As always, we're sponsored by the Company Burger, located at 4600 Ferret Street, and Crystal Hot Sauce, the official hot sauce of Propel's Talk. Love to hear your thoughts. Is it make or break season for Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, maybe CJ McCollum? What do you expect from Kyra Lewis? Let us know in the comments. Chaz, come on, man. It's a beautiful Sunday, huh? It's a beautiful Sunday.
Go ahead, Lito.
No, you good.
Now I'm saying, yo, Dyson had the worst pre-draft. Dyson had the worst film I've ever seen a male basketball player have. I saw Dyson film. I just knew he wasn't an option. I said, oh, not him. And boy.
You're two jump, baby, from Dyson Daniels. We'll holler at y'all later this week. Y'all have a good one.